Welcome to Love Fellowship Believers, a non-denominational church desiring to fulfill God's will. We invite you to join us in an atmosphere of praise and worship and the powerful teachings of Christ delivered in a most creative way that reaches every age. Located at 1900 Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Greensboro, North Carolina, on the wonderful campus of Gillespie Park Elementary School. This year, we're focusing on building a foundation solidified by grace, with walls made by faith, and our homes being filled with salvation by being united in living devotion. We promise you, visiting us online or in the sanctuary will be an experience that will be life-changing and one you'll never forget. We hope to see you soon. Services begin at 11 a.m. Have a blessed day.
Say, you know what, I can't make it without him. This could be my last chance to tell him thank you. This could be the last opportunity that I have just to say, God, I appreciate just what you've done. Yeah, I might not have everything that I want, but God, I know I got everything that I need. And I just want to say thank you. Is there anybody?
I tell you. We see our kids out here doing all of this and all of these different things. And I think Deacon Stacy said it earlier. Lord knows they could be somewhere else. Something else could be going on in their lives, but they're here and they're willing to go ahead and tell God thank you. Not ashamed to go ahead and sing. Not ashamed to go ahead and dance. And I don't know about you, but that just warms me up on the inside. Amen. Gives me a good feeling. We want to say thank you so very much for coming out here today. Look, you need some more seats. There's some seats over here. There's some seats. Yeah, praise the Lord. There's seats all the way around. Hey. Want to tell you thank you. Thank you so very much for being here in this place. We understand and we know that you could have gone somewhere else. I'm sure you passed another church, but now you made it here. And we thank you for that and dare not take that for granted. Amen. On our Friends and Family Day, I want to share with you a very familiar scripture, a very familiar area in our text. You've probably heard it before, but hopefully let's see what it is that God has to say through these scriptures today. Amen. Daniel chapter 6, verses 1 through 5. On the way back to work, hey, you stopped in for a minute. God bless you. I appreciate you. Thank you so very much. I love you, baby. Amen. Mika called me all the time, Pastor, I had to make it by. And so she was able to leave her job and come by for a moment. Thank you so very much. Amen. That makes me feel good. I don't know about anybody else. Amen. Praise the Lord. Daniel chapter 6, verses 1 through 5. And want to say thank you to those that are listening online, those that are on our online radio station, those that are on our phone call. Thank you so very much for spending time with us as well. It says, it pleased Darius. Darius was the king. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. It says, and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might have accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Verse 5. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Let us pray. Father God, first and foremost, we say thank you. God, thank you for this time. Thank you for this moment, God. Thank you for this opportunity to be here today, God. God, we ask that your word would be shared in the way that you would have it to be done here in this place, So open up our ears, our minds, and our hearts, and allow us to be receptive to your word. Allow this fertile ground, Father God, to receive the seed that you would plant here today, that it would bloom and blossom into what it is that you would have it to be. Father, we love you, and God, we thank you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen, 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 amen. On your program, I'm not going to try to stay up here very long. I'm just going to try to give you what it is God has given me. On your program, you have a section where you can write notes, And if you're taking notes today and you want to write down a title for today's sermon, it's a very simple one. Guilty as charged. Guilty as charged. Guilty as charged. We've heard so much about Daniel and Daniel in the lion's den and all the different things that happens with Daniel. And you can take the time to go ahead and read and find out what was going on up until this point. Did we get here to this Daniel, who was able to interpret visions and dreams and share these different things? Daniel that had so much going on. Here in this particular verse, King Darius has found favor with Daniel because of the gifts that he has. King Darius has said, look, I'm in charge of a whole lot of stuff. And all of this stuff that I'm in charge of, I see that I just can't do it all by myself. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take up the land and I'm going to take up the area that I have. And I'm going to divide it up into 120 different provinces. And in these different provinces that I'm going to have, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to set their three different presidents over these three different areas of that I've set up here. And I'm just going to have three people to report back to me so that I don't have to keep up with it all myself. And in the process of doing so, Darius started to look at what was happening. And as he saw what was happening, he said, you know what? Everybody's doing a good job, but I tell you, that Daniel is something else. I think I just might make Daniel in charge of it all and just let him be the one to report back to me. In the process of doing that, everybody else that was involved got jealous. Anybody got jealous? got jealous of the gift. Amen. And so they started to plot against him. How can we get this Daniel? It might sound familiar to someone if you've read in the New Testament before, getting jealous of Jesus' power. How might I plot against him? And so this is where we find ourselves, guilty as charged. Amen. And so even as we look at this Old Testament scripture, I want to go ahead and bring this to 2016. And I want to ask you a question. Are you guilty of being committed to your purpose? Daniel was found to be guilty as charged. He was found, they said that, hey, we've looked at him and we can't. The only way that we're going to be able to get him is that we're going to have to get him trapped up in something concerning his God. He's faithful. He's good at what he does. My question to you, are you guilty at being committed to your purpose? Well, Pastor, I don't know if I'm guilty of being committed to my purpose, because someone might say, well, I don't even understand what my purpose is. I don't even understand where I'm supposed to be. I don't even understand what it is that I'm supposed to be doing. I would encourage you to make sure you spend time with God. Let God speak to you through prayer and through medication. Find out what it is you're supposed to be doing. Look, none of us are here just to simply be here. None of us are here that we would just go ahead and gallivant on through this life. No, you have a specific purpose for your life. Daniel, if you take the time to read the book of Daniel, you'll find that Daniel went through all kinds of tribulations. Daniel went through all kinds of different things where he had to deal with this stuff. And then he had to have patience to make it through. And then through his patience, he had to go ahead and get some experience. And then through the experience to see hope. Romans chapter 5 verses 1 through 5 says that there's four things that we'll all find in life. We'll find tribulation. We'll find patience. We'll find experience. And all of that brings us yet hope. And so wherever you are, you're in one of those situations. You're going through a tribulations. God's working on you to work with your patience. He's giving you the experience to go through all that through the patience so that you would have the experience to go ahead and tell somebody else. And even through that all, he says, you know what? Yet there's still hope. Not hope in your own ability, not hope in what it is that you can do, but hope in the fact that Jesus Christ will make it a way. Amen. 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 Are you guilty as charged? Are you guilty for being committed to your purpose? With your friends, with your co-workers, jealous of what it is that God is doing in you, would they be able to find that you would be guilty of being committed? Or would they say, no, it wouldn't be no problem to trip her up? We could trip her up real easy. Oh, we could trip him up. We ain't got to worry about him. All I got to do is put this in front of his face. He'll fall every single time. Or would you be found guilty to being committed to what it is God would have for you to do? Amen? I think there's a few ways. There's a few ways that we can go ahead and look at this scripture and we can get out of this scripture how we can work to make sure that we're committed to this purpose. Amen? Go ahead and give you a few nuggets to help understand how this happens. Amen? Let's look at verses 3 and 4. It says, then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. But they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Are you guilty of being committed to your purpose? Number one, there will always be people that are jealous of your calling. There will always be people that are jealous of your calling. I'm here to tell you right now, if you're going through life and it's bothering you now that somebody talking about you, you better learn to go ahead and get over it. You better learn to go ahead and get over it. I have a 13-year-old daughter and an 11-year-old daughter, and my two youngest are 10. My oldest boy is back there. He'll be 23 soon. And when we sit here and go through, I've dealt with all of them with somebody talking about them. And I said, look, you got to get past somebody talking about you, because folk going to talk. Folk going to always have something to say. But understand, you know, that's part of the process. Folk going to always say, you know what? Drive a nice car. Yeah, I looked at you, Ann. Drive a nice car. Folk going to have something to say. Oh, she must be, he must just think he, Folk going to always have something to say. Go ahead and buy your spouse a real nice gift. Somebody going to have something to say. You go ahead and dress a certain way at work. Switch it up. Go in Monday and wear something different that you ain't never wore to work before. And watch and see if jokers won't be at the water cooler. Oh, she just thinks she. That's how that go. Folk going to always talk. Folk going to always have something to say. Understand, that's just going to be part of the process. Here in verses 3 and 4, and when it says that Daniel was preferred by the king, as soon as Daniel was preferred by the king, folk had something to say. Now, here's the unique part about verse number 3. It says he was preferred by him, but then it says because an excellent spirit was upon him. Now see, it wasn't because of anything he was doing on his own. It was because of the spirit that was upon him. It was because God had found favor in him and God said, I'm going to bless you. See, here's where we mess up. We mess up when we start thinking it's all about us. We mess up when we think, you know what? God has blessed me. I got this and I'm going through that and I'm making moves and I'm doing it. And me, I going to fall. Flat on their face. Ain't going to make it. But when you can turn around and say, it was God that allowed me. It was God that allowed me. It was God that made a way. I'm just here being a tool. I'm thankful that he chose me and I'm just willing to make it on through. Amen. So are you committed to your purpose? Are you committed to your purpose? If you're going to be committed to your purpose, you're going to have to understand that no matter what goes on, there will always be people that are going to be jealous of your calling. Amen. Amen. Number two. Go down to verse number 10. Amen. Verse number 10. Now, as this story goes on, as you'll read it in your own time, as you go through it some more, as these other princes and presidents started to go up against Daniel. Verse number 10 says, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in the chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. So what had happened is that they had said, you know what? We can only get Daniel if we get him caught up in something that's concerning his God. And so what they went ahead and they went up to King Darius and they said, King Darius, let's make a decree that folk are going to have to pray to this statue. They're going to have to honor you. We want to set up something for you. Daniel stayed committed to his purpose. Daniel's purpose wasn't to make the king and to take the king and put the king upon a pedestal. Daniel's purpose was to make sure God got all the glory. Amen? Amen. So number two, number one, there will always be people that are jealous of your calling. Number two, no matter the circumstance, stay committed. Stay committed. Here, if you look in verse number 10, you'll find out that regardless of whatever decree that they had made at the time, and even the king himself, once he had made a decree, he could not pull the decree back. Once it got written down on paper, that's exactly what it is. If the king's own child was caught doing something wrong, that they had to deserve the same punishment as anybody else. And so even though he loved Daniel, even though Darius loved Daniel, since he had made a decree, he had got tricked into making this decree, he still had to respond to him a certain way. But it says here in verse number 10 that Daniel knew that the decree had been made. He knew that the writing was signed. And in even knowing the consequences and what was going on, the Bible says that when it came time for him to pray, he went to his chamber like he always goes. And when he got there, he opened up the windows so everybody could see what was getting ready to go on. And it says that he kneeled down and he prayed three times like he normally does. And it says here in this last thing, it says he did it three times and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. I'm here to tell you that if you want to go ahead and look at this thing and answer, how can I stay committed to my purpose? You're going to have to, no matter what the circumstance, stay committed. You're going to have to stay. You can't give up. There's going to be darts that's going to be thrown. There's going to be things that's going to be said. There's going to be bumps that are going to be in a row. Even yourself, even within yourself, your flesh is going to start to speak to you and tell you, you can't do it. What do you think you're doing? How dare you think you can make it? How dare you think God will bless you that much? How dare you think on you can do this? You've been through so much. You've messed up so much. But I'm here to tell you, we serve a God. A God that tells us that there is nothing that is impossible with him. And that as long as we stay on his side, I don't care what it looks like. If God said this is how it's going to be, guess how it's going to be? The way God said it. But we got to stay committed. We got to stay committed. There's things that we can think about right now that we've gone through life. You've made it this far. There's stuff that we can think about right now that we gave up on. There were decisions that we had an opportunity that we gave up on. We started listening to what somebody else said. You can't do that. You ain't gonna never. How will you? I don't know about you, but I got enough stuff sitting up on the shelf already with my name on it that I didn't receive. Because I gave up on it. Because I allowed my flesh to win. I got caught up in what everybody else would say. But I don't know what. I'm to a point that I don't really care what nobody else got to say no more. That no matter what it is God sets before me, I'm going to stay committed to it. I already know. If God's telling me to do it, I already know it's going to rub some folk the wrong way. Because he don't do things the way that everybody else think things should be done. See, he came born of a virgin. That don't make sense to everybody. See, he went up on the cross and took on all of our sins when he hadn't sinned at all. That don't make sense. He was God himself and he wrapped himself in flesh to go through for us. For us did still mess up. For us to still talk about him, for us to still doubt him, that doesn't make sense. So if he went through, what in the world make me think I ain't gonna have some stuff to go through? But I have the ability to make up my mind and say, no matter what I go through, I'm gonna stay committed. Amen. 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 So if I'm going to be guilty as charged, and if I'm going to look at this and I'm going to say, well, if I'm guilty, how am I guilty to being committed to my purpose? One, there will always be people that are going to talk about me because of my calling. I got to understand it. Two, no matter the circumstance, I have to stay committed. Amen. As we get down to verse 22 and verse 23. Amen. Verse 22 and verse 23. It says, my God have sent his angel and have shut the lion's mouth, that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then was the king exceedingly glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. First, I got to realize folk going to always talk about me. Secondly, I have to understand I got to stay committed. And lastly, I need to understand that God is faithful to deliver me. He's faithful to deliver me. And so now when I look at this, if I'm guilty as charged, if I'm going to be charged, let me be found guilty of being committed to God's purpose. And if when I'm found guilty to being committed to his purpose, God's going to show me that he's faithful. He's faithful to reward me for being committed to doing what it is he'd have for me to do. Daniel, because Daniel opened up his doors, because he kneeled down and prayed, because he gave thanks to his God, he was found guilty of man's decree. Because of it, they said, Daniel, we're going to toss you into the lion's den. This is where your punishment is. Now, what was really happening is that, Daniel, you're being sentenced to death. Because I'm here to tell you, they didn't expect Daniel to come up out of the lion's den. Those same ones that worked right beside him, them same ones that rubbed elbows with him, them same ones that laughed and giggled and all that other stuff, when were the first ones on the line, let's go ahead and put him in there. He goes to the lion's den. Verses 22 and 23 says that when the king got there, he rushed there the next morning. And when he got there, he found that Daniel was still in the lion's den. Daniel ain't have a scratch on him. He hadn't been hurt. Daniel had been taken care of. And the king was like, what in the world has happened? And Daniel said, look, it's my God. It's not me. It's my God that took care of me. He took care of me for being, and then even then, Daniel started to praise God for taking care of him through the process. When we are committed to doing what it is God would have for us to do, I'm here to tell you there is a reward. There is a reward. God has something in store. He allows us. Man could not make a decree. God doesn't. People can't do nothing against you without getting permission from God. Even in the book of Job, it lets us know before Job was even attacked, the devil had to say, God, can I do it? And God responded back and say, well, you can do this and you can do this and you can do that, but you can't do that. And so anything that God would allow to happen in our lives is something that he allows to happen, that he would strengthen us through the process. He has something more in store for us when we go through. Don't be so quick to get up out of your situation. You might miss your blessing. Verse Verse number 16. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God, who thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. He will deliver thee. When you go through, it ain't just for you. The same king that wrote the decree found that he had been tricked. And even in being tricked, he reached out to his friend and he said, look, I know you got to go through this. I know what's got to happen. I know you have to go through what you're going through. You have to. Ain't nothing nobody else can do about it. You got to go through what you're going through. But I know God will deliver you. God's not allowing it to happen just for any reason. It's a purpose. He will deliver you. He'll give you everything that you need. Sometimes we can't receive something until we go through it. God say, I got some stuff I got to work off of you. Because you know what? You're thinking a little more highly of yourself than you ought to. So I'm going to allow you to go through some stuff and let some things happen. So that now when I get ready to get it, you're going to appreciate it a little bit more. Now when I give this to you, you're going to actually go ahead and do something with it. Instead of just walking around, keeping it in a shiny box and showing everybody else what you got. You're going to do something a little different with it this time. You're going to understand what it is. See, if you've never been hungry, you don't understand how good it feels to have a full refrigerator. Yeah, if you ain't never had to walk somewhere, you don't know how good it is to just go ahead and get in a car and just... If you ain't never been cold, you don't know how good it feels to have that heat just blowing on. Oh, that God allows us to go through some stuff so that we'll actually see just how awesome he is and how he provides. The question that I have for you today, would you be found guilty? Would you be found guilty? You look over your life. This ain't for your neighbor. This is for you. This is for you. I want you looking at your neighbor talking about, well, I don't think, you know, you've been met. Don't be looking at your neighbor. You don't got no heaven or hell to put nobody in. Don't look at your neighbor. Look at you. As you look at all this, are you guilty of being committed? Or we can come in here on Sunday and we can dress up. We can hallelujah, we can clap our hands, we can thank you, Jesus, all day long. And we could, to just be real honest about it, Sunday is a real superficial day. Folk that are hurting on the inside, they'll come to church and they'll still put a smile on. Hey, how you doing? God bless you. But are you guilty of being committed to the purpose that God has placed in your life? If you say you're a believer, are you guilty of being a believer? Would somebody have to ask, are you saved? Or the people that are around you, would they just know? Not because you say it with your mouth, but because when you see a coworker in need, you don't have a problem reaching in your pocket to try to help out. Because when you see somebody going through, you don't have a problem going ahead and grabbing hands. And look, I don't care if we're in a break room or wherever we are, we about to pray. Amen. Would you be found guilty? The life that you live? Are you living a life that's committed to God? Or are you more worried about what the world says? Because, you know, there's a thing going on in the world right now. And the world says, and young people, listen to this. Because the world tells you just to go ahead and do whatever you want to do because it feels good. Well, you won't never know if you don't try. No, you better go ahead and take some wisdom from some folk that's done already been through it. Some folk that's done already been through it and here to tell you, look, you ain't got to do that. That ain't going to work out in your favor. There's a different way to do that. You don't know who those folk are. Look around. You see people with a little bit of gray in their head. Them the folk you need to talk to. I don't care if it's in the beard, if it's in the hair, them the folk you need to talk to. They can go ahead and tell you, look, I done been through something. You ain't got to go through that if you just listen. I don't know about you, I want to be found guilty. I don't like going to court. And I already told my mama, they get me behind them bars. Look, y'all hawk, whatever you got to hawk to get me out of there, because I don't need to be in there. You know, Kevin Hart talking about the way his checking account set up, the way my mind set up. Yeah, I don't need to be in there. Get me out. Do whatever you need to do to get me out. If I'm in there, I did something that I needed to do. Get me out. But if I have to go to court and I need to be found guilty of something, let me be found being guilty of doing what it is I'm supposed to do. What I'm supposed to do. What I'm supposed to do. Amen? Amen. Come on, let's put our hands together for the Lord. Amen. Bless you. Bless you. Bless you. So with all of that being said, what is your personal decision today? It's wonderful to come and clap our hands. It's wonderful to be here and have a good time and to see each other's faces. But what is your personal decision? I believe that every time that the word of God is preached, every time that, God would even give us a scripture to pick up and read for ourselves, he's speaking directly to us. He's speaking to us and he's asking a question. What is your decision? Based upon what you've heard, based upon what's been explained, what is your decision? Maybe after listening to today's message, you've said, you know what? I don't know that purpose. I need to find out that purpose. I don't want you to think that it's crazy, because, you know, some people actually go through their whole lives living out somebody else's purpose. You know what I mean when I say that? I've seen a lot of faces look at me like, well, you know, mama said that I was going to be a doctor, so I'm going to do everything I can to be a doctor. But doctor ain't your purpose. You're listening to somebody else. And so you're having a hard time figuring out what it is you're really supposed to be doing, because you've been living your life trying to please somebody else. I ain't trying to break up nobody's marriage in here at all. But some of us live our lives for our spouse. And we don't never look at ourselves and say, well, what is it that I want to do? What is it that God has for me to be involved with? Here comes a big ouch right here. Some of us drop everything that we got going on because we say, well, look, I'm a parent. And my kids. You a child yourself. God is your father. And he has a purpose for you. You got to live out your purpose. You got to find out what your purpose is. Maybe that's your personal decision. I don't know what my purpose is. God, I need you to show me my purpose. I need you to help me with my purpose. Maybe your personal decision is, well, I know what my purpose is, but I just ain't doing it. I know what it is, but I'm just not. I'm sort of comfortable where I am. And if I was to really have to walk out my purpose, that's going to put me in an uncomfortable position. And I don't want to be uncomfortable. Maybe that's your decision today. I know what my purpose is, but now I'm willing to be uncomfortable to please God. Daniel went into the lion's den. The Bible doesn't talk about whether he went kicking, screaming, any of that kind of stuff. It just say he went on in there. How many of you are willing to be the one to step into the lion's den so that you could fulfill your purpose? Yeah, that's a scary thought now, isn't it? Most folks see a dog on walking down the street. They say, let me just go on to the other side. I don't need to be over there. No, we're talking about a lion. We're talking about lions in a den in their area, in their little backyard. So in living your purpose and doing what it is God would have you do, it's not a comfortable place. So making that personal decision is not an easy thing. Or maybe in your personal decision, you say, you know what? I know what my purpose is. I'm working in my area. I just need a little bit more strength. God, I just need a little encouragement from you. I just need you to shine a light over there in the corner. Help me get rid of some stuff. I need you to brighten my path so that I could feel a little bit more confident in walking out what it is you'd have for me to do. We all need that. We all need that. We all need that. based upon what you've heard today, if that's any of those things are your personal decision, or maybe something that I didn't mention, because maybe someone doesn't know Christ.
Give it, Lord.
When I say know Christ, I don't mean that you walked up in a church, you said in front of somebody else, this is who I am. But that you actually have a relationship with Him. You don't have to talk to God walking on eggshells, so timid. But you got a relationship with Him, so you can just go to Him and say, Daddy, look, I need your help. Without the relationship, Daniel could have had all the confidence in the world. But without the relationship with God, Daniel wouldn't have made it. I'm here to tell you today, the most important thing is that you have a relationship. Well, Pastor, at one time I was doing this. Look at here. I'm the kind of person that I believe you once saved, you always saved. I don't think there's anything I can do to undo the blood of Christ. It was a gift that's freely given, and I accepted it one day. And so since I accepted it that one day, it's a gift that I'll always have. But I'm not perfect, and I'm going to fall, and there's going to be things that's going to happen. And maybe you're the person of the decision today. I don't know him. I want to get to know him. Maybe your person of the decision is, well, you know what? I know him. I once knew him real well, but I don't talk to him like I used to. We don't have the same relationship like we used to. I don't have that fire like I used to. And today, I want to make a personal decision to get that all back together again. Now, we're going to get ready to pray. But before we pray, I want to share with you that the wonderful thing about the God that I'm talking about, the God that we serve, is that, see, He knew this moment was going to come before we did. He knows all about everything that's going on in our lives. It's a true saying, God knows my heart. He really does. And so if you're that person that you're finding yourself in a place and you say, look, I'm willing to make a personal decision today. I got to do something different. I got to fulfill my purpose. My purpose as a parent, I got to make sure my children are being exposed to Christ. I got to be as a spouse, I got to make sure I just got to do some things different. And today I'm making a decision to do things differently. If that's you, would you